This week on your Old School RuneScape Update, we discuss how we chip away at quest requirements and achieve a major milestone in the Legends Quest. Then we look at the quality of life changes of this week and what convenience means for a game. This is the Old School RuneScape Update, Episode 18, recorded Saturday, March 9th, 2024. Convenience for Legends. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. Sirion and myself are in, as we are each and every week, and as we like to say around these parts, the adventure continues. Or maybe it never ends.
Stick with, like, one catchphrase, otherwise it doesn't work.
No, I mean, I was referring to our quest of the week, but we'll get there. We'll get there a little bit. We got some fun quality of life things to discuss this week, and kind of a bit of a discussion about what makes it an update, a quality of life update, I think is probably the best way to frame where we're going on this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, fine. Good. If you're joining us for the first time, show notes can be found at update.show/OS. We also have a friends chat.
What if you're not joining for the first time? Where are the show notes then?
Then I hope those folks have committed that to their memory, that they can go to update.show/OS to find show notes, to find the audio version of the show, and find out how to subscribe for more, which I normally say at the end of the show. But just so I don't get sidetracked, I'm also going to mention the friends chat, which is Bits Bytes, and the community Discord, which is update.show/discord. But since you mention subscribing and what our website has on it, I was going to do this at the end of the show, but I'll do this at the top of the show. We have a link on there to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and for folks who have upgraded to iOS 17.4 this week and want to use the Apple Podcasts app, there's more reason for you to do that compared to something else like Spotify or Pocket Casts, if you're looking for another way to consume our shows, is that the podcast app in iOS 17.4 now supports transcriptions. And we don't pay to have these transcriptions done. They appear to be very accurate and are able to handle the technical kind of words that we use on
As well as my funny accent, I'm impressed.
Well, to be fair, I just checked the RS3 one. I haven't checked the old school one yet to see how that landed. So I'll have to go and have a look at how it did for your accent. But this is a huge update in the podcasting space, because one of the issues that podcasts have always had is that they're not inherently searchable. You can search the people's show notes. You can search the titles and descriptions of the episodes, but searching through the content of the episode has always been very difficult, unless, of course, the people who make the show pay to have actual human transcriptions done. And we don't do that. So having a service like Apple out there that is actually going to provide transcriptions for the show, that is incredibly valuable, and in my view is really the tip of the iceberg on some of the stuff that we're going to see on the generative AI front, which I assume is how Apple is doing this. And I'm just looking at last week's transcript, by the way.
You know my temptation right now, right? To just say random words and see how it does that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can do that. Say something in Dutch.
Oh my god, you're putting me on the spot here for Dutch. What should I say in Dutch?
I don't know.
Abonneer je op ons kanaal, and that's it. That's subscribe to a channel in Dutch. It's all I could think of.
All right, we'll wait and see how that goes, if it translates it to English or whatever it does. But I just wanted to point that out for people who are on the iOS platform, that you do now have a new way of consuming the
podcast.
You're
giving it a run for its money as well, with how you're talking.
you have a different way to consume the podcast by way of its transcript. So do check that out. Update your phones, as always, to the most recent version for security updates, but also these little kind of feature updates.
Or use a like proper mobile operating system like Android.
We're not going to have this debate here. So I'm just going to start talking about what I've been doing this week. I've been back on the road, going back to 2008, as a lot of people probably like to say it, old school, and I've been doing the old Herblore routine of making pier setses, as I used to call them back in the day. I don't know if people call them pier sets nowadays, but pier sets is, of course, super attack plus super strength. And the reason for this is that, as folks might know who listen to the show, one of the long-term goals we have is to complete Song of the Elves, and Song of the Elves has a level 70 Herblore requirement on it, and in doing so, we tick off a number of the other Herblore quest requirements along the way. And you know, Herblore is a bit of a I don't want to necessarily say confusing one, but it's a bit of a surprising one, because you see this skill primarily as a money sink, right? But the reality is, you know, when you look at it and you start selling your potions back, you can actually get pretty far as long as you have, you know, a few mil to invest in the herbs, and you sell the potions as you go, kind of thing on that. And you know,
yeah, that's what I found as well. Like when I bought the ingredients for like my super strengths, I'm like, oh, this is gonna cost me like a kidney, and then I sold it back. I was like, how much did I actually lose? It's not that bad, right, in the end.
Like, going from 45 to 65, I think, cost me about 400K.
Oh, that's really cheap.
Yeah. So that was good to see. And, you know, it got me thinking, you know, do I do that? Do I use the money for that first? Or do I, you know, actually, you know, in effect, burn the money on the altar and get some prayer levels? But I figured, you know, use the money for the things we can, in effect, cycle the money through the economy first to get those buyables, and then once all that's done and gone, we can actually, you know, burn the money away by training prayer, which, you know, I did
keep some potions, right? Like, I've been using them for like even just as Spory fights, and
I did what you said to do. Use the amulet of chemistry and just keep the four dose ones.
Yeah, exactly. It gave me like 50 to 100 potions each, but with how little PVM I do, that will last me.
And you know, that's enough for now. And then later on, you're gonna probably, you know, want to, you know, push to 81 for the Sarah Bruce, and you know, maybe eventually 99. So,
And there's the I probably want to go and combine these into combat potions as well, just that for too. Convenience.
That too, and so. then the crystal parts we can combine once we get to Prif as well on that. So you know, it's all part of that Herblore ecosystem. And, you know, I'm not, you know, farming all my herbs. I'm not doing it the Iron Man way. But at the end of the day, the farming is still one of the best moneymakers out there for this kind of thing, in terms of, you know, just do a few runs a day and you can be relatively happy. I'll just say that. So that was chapter one this week. And of course, chapter two was that I got 60 agility. And I'm just taking a pause there for now to nail down some other quest requirements along the way. I think I'm one or two pieces away from having full graceful, so that's nice to have. And you know, it does.
You can save up for the recaller. You can start fashion scaping.
You're just trying to push me again to that 99 agility untrimmed.
Yes. My secret mission. Oh, not so secret mission, rather.
I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like that. But anyways, go ahead. What have you been up to this week?
I had a fairly quiet week, honestly. Compared to the previous week, at least. I finally hit the 70 milestone for Hunter through birdhouses. So it's been very nice.
Have you done any active Hunter throughout the thing? Throughout the way?
No.
The journey? No.
No.
Wow.
No. I don't think I've done any, honestly, which is... I mean, I must have done... No, I didn't do any, because I got my first few levels from the natural history quiz, and that was enough to start with birdhouses, so... Nope. I keep meaning to. Right? I keep thinking I should really do some diffnet fishing, right? Get me some fishing levels as well.
Yeah, because but... that you can combine the two there and get XP. It's not the honestly, best in either, but...
I can't be bothered. I just can't be bothered. I'm going to be honest. I just can't. And if there's one rule that I have in all my RuneScape playing is that I will never do something that I don't feel like in the moment. Because that's just... I mean it sounds like some people might be like, how can you ever do any agility then? And sure, like it's not like I'd like doing all the grinds I like doing, but I will always pick in the moment what I feel like doing most. And sometimes that might be picking an activity that I don't like, but at least it's working towards a goal I really want to have, right? So I always try to have some kind of motivator built in to make sure that I'm, you know, not doing something I actively despise.
Yeah, and the reason I chuckled there for that is, you know, there's certain skills that I would just prefer not to touch. Like thieving, for example.
I don't know. Like, I didn't enjoy the bit that was thieving, but that's why you might see me jumping around from goal so much, right? Like, I might spend an hour here. Like, if it is something I need to absolutely do, but I don't like doing it, I will try and find a way of making it bearable by mixing it with other things or splitting it up in chunks. With thieving, it's one of these things where, like, I'm just going to sit here and do it while watching, like, a YouTube video. And sometimes I just need to turn off my brain and do it. But
right. But then you get really, you know, like, tedious methods like blackjacking that, you know, really.
I did fruit stalls. So, you know, that's just literally spam clicking your mouse. So.
Yeah, that's easier than the other methods out there. And, you know, I just looked up the numbers on bird housing.
In terms of time spent, like, it's best the XP per hour.
Like, mahogany birdhouse, 153 to 189k XP an hour, according to Wiki.
Yes. Yes, if you're reasonably efficient about your runs. I'm up to you right now. So my next milestone is going to be 74 hunter, which unlocks magic. But then the big problem comes in that you need 75 crafting for those birdhouses, and that's a thing I'm currently scratching my head over how I'm gonna do that. I want 75 crafting anyway, because of the crystal seed singing, but yeah. I don't know yet how I'm gonna get 15 levels in crafting without breaking the bank and losing my sanity. So yeah, 70 hunter did that. I also got 70
mining.
It's a
shame it's not leagues and you don't have Trailblazer.
No, exactly.
talking about the Czar thieving.
Yeah, no, exactly. But yeah, 70 mining was the next thing I did. I used the shooting stars. I think I spoke about that last week. God, the public chat around some of these is truly degenerate, but hey, I survived. I turned it off. I tuned it out. Got 70 mining done, so I'm probably gonna go back to the model out mine and do some more mining to.
That's a nice chill way of doing that.
To get the prospector outfit, and that should hopefully get me like to 71 or 72, which is gonna be nice for the crystal pickaxe when we get access to that.
That's good. What's happening in Ironland?
Well, I was not done yet.
Oh, okay.
Because what's the counterpart to mining?
Smithing.
Yeah, I knocked out 60 smithing.
Okay, Giant's Foundry.
Giant's Foundry. It's super quick. I'm 60 is pretty quick. I have 70 banked, so that's next. And that too, like, I don't hate it, but I need to do it in chunks.
I agree.
I try and do 10 swords at a time, which is, that's like an hour worth of time, a little bit more, I think. Like five, it's like six-ish minutes per sword. So, yeah, it's about an hour. It's a good time. So, yeah.
And
what's happening in Ironland? Yeah. Not so much, honestly.
Okay.
Mostly Been pushing up my combat level. So, like, the first goal I have with that account is, of course, finishing all the free-to-play quests.
Always a quester first, right?
It also just makes the most sense to just do that, right?
Right, because like XP.
Because XP and also, like, a lot of training method. Like, you don't really want to do skilling. Like,
are you following the ultimate quest guide?
No, not even. I'm just doing whatever comes on my path.
Okay.
But, like, I did most of the easy ones right now. I'm mostly stuck to the ones that actually require some combat capabilities. So that's what I'm building up right now. Of course, I don't want to lose my hardcore status on something stupid. But yeah, I've been working on basically get the prerequisites to get to the combat stage of the quest for both Vampire Slayer and Below Ice Mountain.
Boy, I remember when those were a stretch for us on our main accounts.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. That's it, really. I'm honestly not too scared about most of the quests. It's Dragon Slayer that I'm really scared for obvious reasons. I need to figure out what combat style makes sense and
just kind of lean into that. And you know, I've never felt what it is like to, you know, be thinking, oh, am I going to lose hardcore status on that? And, you know, I think the good thing to kind of just take away from all this at the end of the day is that the hardcore accounts just don't disappear anymore. They just, you know, have the option of losing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not, for that reason, like, I wouldn't have gone hardcore if that were the case. Like, it's not, I don't really care for it, but now that I have it, I kind of want to preserve it for obvious reasons. It's funny because if you look at sort of my skill list on that account, it's mostly combat, the quest requirements, and a lot of cooking and fishing to get a bunch of food.
Right.
So that's it, really. I don't play on it too much. It's like mostly something.
Yeah,
it's just
a little side project in free to play, yeah. I guess you could say. So.
Yeah, for now, I want to see how I feel. Like, that's why I want to finish all the free-to-play quests, and then I can see how I feel about it, right? Like, if I'm like, hey, I'm actually having fun with this, and so far I am, then, you know, I might go upgrade it to members, and then we can actually start thinking about skilling.
Right,
you know?
And the interesting thing is that initial, you know, starting bit and the bit up until, you know, probably, you know, 50-ish base stats across the board. For a lot of people, you know, that's the funnest part of the game is leveling up these stats so quick because you're getting the rush of leveling up each and every time. And you also, with that, you know, realize that you're laying the foundations for what's to come in the future, which is, of course, the bulk of the game where it, you know, starts to get grindy, of course, where our main accounts mm-hmm. are. And with that, you start to see, okay, well, that was one version of RuneScape. This is another. I enjoy this on, you know, a regular account. Am I going to enjoy this on an iron? And I think that's going to be an interesting thing for you to come across.
Yeah, so far it's not been too big of a deal, I think. I mentioned last week, right, where I did Prince Ali Rescue, which normally is go to the GE, buy the items, and talk to a few people. And an Ironman account, it's a little bit of a different experience, and so far that there have not been too many quests that really required this. But that's sort of what I'm hoping to get out of it. Just sort of, I'm gonna make maybe a little bit of a weird comparison here.
All right.
But I look at Zelda games, right? There you go. That's a weird comparison. And the reason I do it is you can look at the different Zelda games and they have, you can sort of, there's two different kinds of Zelda games. There's the ones that are really dungeon focused, right? Where you just go to like one of the dungeons and that's where the majority of the gameplay takes place, right? Like that's where the puzzles are. That's where you need to store things. That's your quest, so to speak. And then there's mostly in the more recent ones where they have sort of expanded the time between dungeons, right? And even getting access to a dungeon often requires you to go do a few fetch quests, do a few things, talk to people, and all that stuff. It's almost become a quest on its own to get to the dungeon and then to beat it.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, it does. So you're saying that's closer to what the Iron experience is like.
Exactly, right? Like, you need to be... I mean, like, getting skills is part of that experience, in a sense. As well, or like a normal main account still needs to get all the levels, but the items are pretty trivial to get usually, and that's for Iron Man maybe a little bit more of a puzzle. And if you want to take that to an extreme, you can even do like the ultimate Iron Man experience. I generally couldn't, but that's what I said about Iron Man many years ago. So who knows in 5 years from now
where you'll be. And you know, we actually had a comment in the Discord about this. What about us and a few others creating group Iron Man?
I like that a little bit less. First of all, I don't like being dependent on other people, but I don't know. I think it also takes away some of that magic of doing it yourself. But
yeah,
you know, I think it's a really fun mode, and if you have a good group of people that are pretty loyal, I think you could have a lot of fun with it. That being said, you know, when I play a game with friends, I want to do things together with them, and the idea of group Iron Man is that you sort of diversify your skills. So I don't know how well that would work.
Yeah, that's fair. I can see that. I can see that.
No, I would love for them. Like, what might be interesting is literally group leagues. That I might give a try.
That would be fun. Specifically
because
for
now,
people
now
like myself
don't
that don't like doing the clue stuff and certain, you know, sections of it.
Yeah, but like, that's the thing, right? Like, I really like the strategizing, but strategizing together, I can see how that's even more fun, right? And if that's something that, like, leagues, the main thing that leagues gives us is all the theory crafting, especially when all the data is
available. Especially, you know, at the start and whatnot too. So.
Yeah, exactly. And doing that as a group and having that extra variable could be really interesting.
I wonder if such a thing could ever be on the table. Who's to say? I don't know.
I think
probably
would be
not.
Too much of a. I think there would be too much of a backlash.
Yeah, because you know the league's format is the league's format.
Exactly, and there's people who don't want to do in groups, but like it could be a parallel thing, right? Like a separate leaderboard. I don't know. I would be willing to give it a try, basically. But yeah, that's been me.
Right on. And you know, there are
now I'm up to basically I'm back to agility. I've been scattering that throughout, but that's like one of the 70s that I need to get for Song of the Elves. Smithing, of course, and then the last big grind, which is woodcutting. So I'm not looking forward to that. But
oh, woodcutting will be fine given all the forestry changes that have come in.
Yeah, it's not so bad. The downside is that, I'm not going to do tick manipulation. You're going to make it much faster, but even without tick manipulation, it seems that cutting teaks is still the fastest, so you can imagine that it's not going to be a very fast grind.
No, it won't. But I mean, another thing that you can just sit back and AFK. But things that our grinds have brought us to. We did Legends Quest.
Wow. You thought that was a grind?
Well, I mean, over time, right? I mean, because I feel like Legends Quest was that first milestone quest, and we waited a while, and that, you know, we're severely over the 107 quest point mark. Some of our skills are severely over the minimum requirements for it.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
Because we did the first bit of the quest, and I was like, all right, we're done now. I'm like, oh,
no.
That was part one of three.
No.
Okay. yeah, but I don't mind so much, right? The quest to me had a legend feeling to it.
Yeah, because you were asked to, you know, go do a simple thing like a map, and you come back with this whole golden totem thing.
Mm-hmm.
Showing, you know, that you have truly understood and appreciated the people of the Khazari jungle. And, you know, I think the biggest thing I took away from this quest is that this was another quest that was classic era, of course. And it still felt remarkably good, and I guess that's through the TLC that's been put into it over the years. But I feel like the biggest thing that was cumbersome and annoying about it was just the sheer amount of inventory spots that was needed to manage throughout it. Like that was the challenging thing for me. The combat was a cakewalk with, you know, dark light and, you know, the protection prayers. And I guess I'm just smarter about that now than I remember way back in the day.
Yeah, I guess so. To me, that the fact that you like, in theory, Underground Pass also needed a lot of inventory space, but it never really felt like it, right? Which made it not succeed as much as a expedition, and this really felt like an expedition in that respect, right? Like, it really sells the idea of you're going somewhere and you need to be prepared for a lot. Now, I'm glad we have guides these days, because knowing what, like, having to go back a million times to grab the items would be a pain, but it feels like a good progression between, you know, getting access to a Champions Guild is Killer Dragon, Heroes Guild, now all of a sudden you need to do like three completely different things, and then Legends Guilds definitely feels like a step up again in what we had to do.
And you know, in many ways that's very traditional RuneScape on that, and I'm glad, you know, despite our knowledge about the game and everything surrounding it, that it did still feel rewarding in the end, because that was something I was wondering about with this, is that, you know, with this being such an old quest, is this still going to, you know, feel rewarding and feel like we truly accomplished something? But it did.
I mean, I bought a Legends cape and wore it. Like,
yeah, of course. That's you know, in my view, I look at the era that the first backup of old school RuneScape came from, 2007, that summer, and the epitome of Fashionscape at the time was a dragon chain body, dragon plate legs, dragon boots, a whip, a dragon fire shield, and the Legends cape, and the Nezahn Not Helm. And, you know, you can still work to that, and it's obviously, you know, a huge step in working to that direction, but it's something that you can still work to here in, you know, God, 2024 in old school RuneScape. And I'm wondering if that's just us, given the fact that, you know, our accounts are around the point where we haven't really started into, you know, the ultimate finale quests, like the Fremenic finales, the Majorat ones, so on and so forth. If Legends feels good because, you know, our characters are at the stage where, you know, they'd be going through that, or if it's just, you know, good quest design still.
I think it's a good midpoint, right? And I think the next point we're working towards is the Recipe for Disaster finale, which I feel has a similar status, right?
Yeah.
Came in, of course. I think it was like the 100th quest, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that's
like
right.
Some kind of,
that's
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
The 100th quest build is 10 quests.
Yeah, exactly. Which to me, like, it feels... it culminates, like everything sort of culminates there, right? And that to me, I love that sense, because it makes such a clear milestone, because that's the memorable things, I feel, like reaching certain milestones is what makes the most memorable.
We're just missing the two people in Legends. We're missing Suramik and the monkey guy, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Monkey Madness, and we need to do that, and we need to do Desert Treasure for the finale fight. Oh, and Horror from the Deep as well, of course.
Right. I feel like we've been kind of lacking on our Fremenic and Mauritania progress on that.
Yep.
But yeah, that's a place we can go on that. And, you know, I will say, and this is probably the last thing I have to say on Legends, is that I remembered, you know, certain parts of the quest. Like, I remember the part where you have to use your agility and you can fall down. And I feel like that was an iconic thing, and I probably did those things and the quest in total back in the day with less overall. And it's just an interesting thing to look at to see that, oh, you know, you're a little bit higher level, but still the quest feels pretty good. And, you know, overall, in terms of patches and quality of life stuff that it's got over the years, it's managed to maintain its spot. And I'm just actually looking at the patch notes here for it on the wiki. The only thing it says is that the experience in the four chosen reward skills was increased from 7650 to 30,000 on November 30th, 2022.
Honestly, I didn't remember anything from the quest except for the fact that it did involve a demon, and I mostly remember that from Dominion Tower and the Bull Roar. Like, that's the only things I remembered from the quest. So for me, it was all pretty fresh. Yeah.
Oh, and we used our XP on thieving. 120k on thieving.
Yeah. That was the only right choice, I feel.
It was.
With that, I'm basically at 60 thieving now, which leaves only Slayer and Runecrafting in my 50s.
Have fun!
Pretty telling, I think.
One of those is okay with the Guardians of the Rift. The other one is not. Though I don't like Slayer.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I am honestly surprised at how fast we're progressing. Like, I mean, it's a mix. I feel I could be progressing so much faster by playing much more and playing much more optimal and doing more of these grinds. And actually doing this, like, because we do the quests together, we could be doing so many more quests, right? Like, most of, like... Okay, not most of them, but a good chunk of them we have just ready to go.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. And they're not all, you know, big ones like Legends quests. Most of them are medium quests along the way. So it's definitely something that we could do.
Just adding up all the rewards, including the XP rewards, would progress the account, like, to a good amount. So in a sense, we're doing pretty slow. At the same time, I feel it's just... so recently that I hit like base 40 on all my skills, was like base 50 is going to be, you know, a big grind. And now it's like base 60 is going to be a big grind. And I'm almost there. I'm like, well, most of my skills are hitting to 70, right? Like.
And you're doing that without even league bonus XP.
Exactly. So, you know, like that's the surprising thing to me. Like, it's a mixture of, you know, okay, there's still so much to do, but at the same time, the account is in a really good state, to the point where we're doing some pretty big hitters, like Legends Quest, which I remember discussing it and us being like, oh, that's ages off, right? Like,
I knew it wouldn't be, because, you know, with how it's designed, 107 quest points and a bunch of level 50s, that's quick enough.
But even, like, Song of the Elves was like, oh, that's going to take ages. But, like, I have...
Oh, it's within view now. I just need to, you know, sit down and do some of the requirements, which you're lapping me on. So that's...
Yeah.
That's my next thing, I guess.
I'm also surprised at how much I'm still playing, in a sense. Right? Like, it's still... I thought after Leagues I would be... done with it, but it kind of reinvigorated me, surprisingly enough, even though...
And see, that's interesting, because I was the exact opposite. I had to take 2 weeks away from Old School after Leagues, and I did that over Christmas, so...
Mm-hmm.
Different perspectives and different, you know, things about, you know, how we wanted to train and whatnot, but if people want to hear the exact thought deliberations on that in my head, head on back to the Leagues episodes. But we do have a minor update this week, and it's a series of quality of life updates that, you know, I'll say it's a small handful of them, and it kind of raises some interesting discussions about what quality of life is seen as in Old School. So we have, in this week's update, we have things like changes to the collection log, where there's now a search option within the collection log that will... allow you to click on the results and see more information about them. And you can also navigate by clicking on category names, and then with that also jump back to the main page as well. Broadcast for combat achievements in clans and group Iron Man. Some forestry changes in relation to events being having their items automatically placed in the inventory. If you have free space, as well as the bonus of the Twitchers Clubs now applying to Redwood, which I think I saw in a poll a few weeks back, or maybe I'm misremembering.
No,
that.
I don't think so. That was, I think, the I don't know. I don't think Twitchers Clubs were polled.
Okay, but it's an interesting batch of quality of life fixes, because you know when you look at this, there's also some stuff for Last Man Standing, and you would think, and maybe this is our perspective of being wrong, does this feel like a big update, and what does this mean for quality of life, is I guess the way I would open this discussion.
I mean, this felt really like it scraping the barrel a little bit.
Yeah, and I think we could say that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I it's interesting, right? Like, it's so easy to give to give old school a hard time over, like, oh, why don't they have a tool belt yet? Why don't they have a money pouch yet, right? And it raises to me a bunch of interesting questions, which is...
Which I just want to say, it's important that we discuss this, because the tool belt for the longest time has been something that I always complained about in old school. But I try not to anymore.
Yeah, see, one of the things that really stand by when it comes to games is that, you know, it's fine if a game has a certain challenge to overcome, right? Like, that's the whole point. If a game is just self straightforward and really easy to beat, it's not fun anymore, right?
Yeah.
Even though people say it needs to be easier, if every monster in the game you just, you know, you look at it and it dies, as you so nicely want them to work. You know, if that were the case, what's the point, right? Like, there needs to be a certain level of challenge. At the same time, it's super important that the challenge is interesting, right? And there are certain games that get this wrong, where you're not really solving the challenges of the game, but you're mostly, like, fighting with the UI, for example. Fighting with the UI is not an interesting challenge.
Yeah, and that's kind of and that's kind of what I was thinking when you were teeing this up, is that, is it about making the game easier by gameplay, or is it about making that interface to the game easier?
Yeah, but like that, just like, it's often games make the mistake of putting convenience in reward space, and I think you need to be careful with that, because look, let's take an example. I don't think old school should introduce lodestones, for example. I think
no.
Lodestones solve a problem that is actually quite interesting to solve and has a lot of interesting options, which is getting around, right? Like, the fact that we have so many different teleports and ways of, like, getting around and managing that together with your inventory space and just making interesting choices as well. The fact that it wasn't a straight choice between the two transportation relics in the last league shows to me that it's an interesting problem.
Right? Yeah, and also with that, I think that one was almost very closely split down the middle, wasn't it, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, exactly.
And that signifies something, too.
Yes. That's an interesting problem. Inventory management, this one gets a little bit more complicated, because these days we have Ultimate Iron Man, who are people who are like, yes, I enjoy that. At the same time, do you really want to end up at a blue scroll in the middle of the wilderness just to realize you forgot your spade?
No.
Right?
No.
That's the kind of thing, but that's on the edge for me. But can I come up with like a good example?
But when you say forget a clue scroll in the wilderness forget a spade in the wilderness for a clue scroll, I flip that on its head and say, well, you want to go, you know, grab a magic log from a tree and you forgot your hatchet. Shouldn't you have some sort of hatchet tool belted then? And see, that's the first thing where my brain goes. And with that, we go back to the barbarian training update from a few weeks back that saw the pot smashing and the finger seed dibbing. And there was a meme that, of course, floated around about Lily the dog that said, to a bout growling dog, barbarian training, happy and content dog with that in terms of how they got mm-hmm. something like the seed dibber into a place that you don't need it anymore.
Yeah. No, and I think the barbarian training shows that there is some appetite to simplify some of these things, right? Like, I mean, it's really not a huge deal with, like, the seed dip is just one fewer item I need to take, but I still need to take my bottomless bucket and
secateurs, maybe a watering can.
Exactly. So it's not all the way there, but hey, I guess it's a small convenience. And that's the question, I think. And that's, I think, and I'm wary comparing RS3 to old school.
Yeah, and I just want to say, you know, a bit of a programming thing on this. That's something that when we sat down to define the parameters of the podcast here, we were both very clear, and you reminded me of this a few times early on, that I was, you know, focusing on my nostalgic experiences of 2004 to 2008 when we started here. Mm-hmm. And we also very clearly said is that this podcast should not have the primary goal week by week of comparing what we're doing to how RS3 does it, because
yeah,
it's an entirely different game. And, you know, there's times where it might make sense to do that, where there was a decision made in parallel on that, but it's not something that should happen week by week. Yeah. And I feel like we're getting to a point here where we can kind of say that old school does these sort of, you know, quality of life, simplicity around the UI things differently than was handled in RS3. And the example in my book being the barbarian training seed dipper.
Yeah. So I think in that respect, RS3 has become a little bit too liberal. Or generous, maybe I should say, if I don't want to politicize it.
No, that's a fair analogy to use. It's a lot of people,
right? Like,
use
it's
that
very liberal
out of the political space,
right? It maybe probably too liberal. I think I don't like the term, but people calling it easy escape. I think it is not a quite an invalid choice, but it's really made RS3 a different game than it was 10-15 years ago, in a sense, right? Like, it attracts a different audience, whereas old school is very conservative in quality of life. But this is where it comes down. I think we need to be careful, and this I see this in some polling where people are a little bit too wary of making things easier. But we also need to consider that just the fact that we did things the hard way doesn't mean that that's necessarily a good thing for the game today.
And bingo. Yeah.
I wish we would be a little bit more open in this discussion of, like, I don't think we should trivialize any challenge.
Are you talking about some of the poll results that passed this past week?
Maybe, like, I don't know if they actually fit within the quality of life.
No, like, I think the closest one to that would be the chivalry thing, right?
I'm struggling coming up with a good example, which I realize makes my story a little bit weak.
but I think everybody feels it when they play old school. I think it's definitely something that you feel.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's... Look, challenge good, jank bad is maybe the best way to summarize it, right? Like, when the game gets in your way, it should do so purposefully.
Right.
This is why Elemental Workshop is such a hated quest. Like, that's, I think, a really good example.
Right, but if you're able to look past it and look at the puzzle, it's actually kind of neat.
Well, Elemental Workshop 2 is really not a puzzle, right? Like, it's really just busy work. if you look at it. Yeah. And the fact that you need to do it multiple times for like achievement diaries or getting the items, it's really painful, right? Like, it's not interesting. And you're just clicking things in the right order. And like the whole thing, why does it exist?
Right. So the option to that then would be to add a store or something after the fact, after you completed the quest or did something with it where you can just go buy
the bars. Yeah, or just even rework the quest so it's just a proper puzzle and that's it, right? Like you just solve it once and unlock the machine and that's it. And there are some puzzles in Elemental Workshop too, right? It's mostly then creating the bar multiple times that is busy work.
Yeah.
I don't think the quest itself is bad.
No.
I think the process of making the bars is bad.
Yeah, and you know, and it's not immediately clear what to click on unless you know, you're aware of how the dungeon works or you're using something like Quest Helper.
Exactly. And that's the thing, like quests are a really good example, like especially the older quests where it's like, look, Morning's End Part 2. I'm going to say it, right? Like, God, is it a great concept for a puzzle, if you think about it, right? Like, working with prisms, working with colors, this entire big tip. No, it's awesome.
But I know.
It's universally hated. Like, there's a bit you need to cross. Like, it's an agility obstacle that's there, right? Why is it there? Like, seriously, why is it there? What does it add to the puzzle? Except for yet another neat thing you need to click. That's the kind of thing where I would, if they said, nuke it, let's get rid of it, right? I don't think it would make the quest any, it would make the quest better. You wouldn't lose anything. Except for maybe the justification of why it needs an agility requirement.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And so, you can fail some of those agility obstacles too in that quest.
Oh boy, yes.
Dare I say. So
yes, and yeah. So I don't know. I feel I need to wrap this up because otherwise I'm going to go on this rant for like another.
Well, I just have two
minutes.
Questions then. You know, you mentioned it's about removing jank and, you know, making it so the game's easier to play without trivializing it. Then in that case, by that, aren't two of the updates that should come to old school then the tool belt and native bank presets?
See, that's interesting.
I feel like there's a stronger argument for the bank presets than the tool belt, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think the bank presets are an update where I don't really see, like, does it make the game easier? Yes. Does it remove a certain thing to do? I mean, yes, it removes. Come on. Like, is it an interesting challenge to be really fast at clicking items in your bank? Like, these days you can use plugins to basically just get everything lined up and all you need to do is click 28 times to get the items you need.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Right? Like, that's exactly the kind of jank that needs to be removed. I think the tool belt is a more interesting one in the scope of the Ultimate Iron Man. I think there's something to be said for making the tool belt much lighter than RS3, like don't put hatchets and pickaxes on it, for example,
or all the jewelry because that modes. Way
because there's still value then in being able to in getting like 60 attacks where you can carry your dragon skilling equipment, right? Like there's still some interesting, albeit minor, challenges there. But yeah, let me put a hammer and a chisel on my tool belt.
Yeah, so just on. The basics then.
Yeah.
So I guess in terms of summing this up, it's about removing the obstacles around the interface for it, and not necessarily making the game too easy.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of these things. Like there are video games, and I'm not making this up, that have a tech tree, and in the tech tree you unlock UI elements, and it baffles my mind, right? That these like you would need to spend in-game currency. To unlock, like, good UX? Like,
user experience for people unaware.
Yes, exactly. Right? Isn't that mind-boggling? Like, I mean, they changed it now, right? Like, they removed most of that from the actual latest version. But there was a version where colors in your UI were not there until you unlocked a certain thing, and they were super helpful because they basically allowed you to scan the interface much quicker.
What game is this, dare I ask?
So this is Veer Route for your Americans. The schematic game where you need to make train schedules and build a network. I find it a lot of fun to do. And there used to be that color coding the trains in the color of the station they need to be routed to was a technology upgrade.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I think overall, when we look at this, it's a very interesting topic, and it's one that old school has kind of managed to meander and walk through throughout the years. And there's a lot of players who want it to be difficult for the sake of being difficult, but there's also that very fine line, as I think we've illustrated here, of what quality of life is and how it can help everybody. Is there anything...
You hit the nail on the head there.
Okay, I was going to ask if there was anything else, or if that was a good way of summarizing it.
You hit the nail on the head. It really is a super fine line, and by the fact that we're struggling to come up with good examples, I think shows it. And you know, I think the ones from this week are pretty non-controversial, right? Like adding a search box to the collection log. That's one of the things, right? Like, why is it not there? Right? That everybody can agree that makes the user experience better.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes gamers are just masochists.
Says the people who like to play League of Legends and Counter-Strike. I'm raising my hand right now.
Yeah, there will always be the one person who is like, I really liked the fact that, you know, I had to scroll down to find my thing in a collection. Like, there will always be exceptions. And for something like the tool belt, there will be more exceptions than for a change like adding a search box.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, that's the interesting thing, is that the tool belt becomes controversial, and I don't think it needs to be controversial.
I think it's gotten so controversial because of RS3 and because people see it as a slippery slope argument, right? Like, oh, if you start adding the tool belt, then, you know, everything is going to become
easy. And you know, there still are people in the community who are militant that old school, you know, maintain its 2007 identity, and they see, you know, the things we've highlighted here as part of that.
But it's also kind of hypocritical because, you know, we do have grouping teleport, for example, right? Yeah, sure, it's a slow animation, as once every 20 minutes, but during our
quest
today...
But it's the closest thing to lodestones we got!
Yeah, but also during the quest today, it may do as an alternative for my glory that I forgot in a pinch twice, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think everybody can agree that grouping teleports don't fundamentally make the game feel hard easier or broken, at least. Just convenient.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly how you sum it up. It's about convenience, folks. It's convenience.
Yes.
But
games should be challenging, not inconvenient.
That's a good way of putting it. Very good way of putting it. And, you know, with that, I think we can safely say we've reached the end of the program. I was going to mention the iOS 17.4 stuff at the end of the show, but I had a good opportunity and reason to do it in the beginning, so I won't again. So I'll just say, if you want the podcast delivered to you automatically each and every week, best way to do that is to subscribe. And to do that, you can head on over to update.show/OS and click on your favorite podcast listener out there, and you know, Apple's there, Spotify's there, Pocket Casts, and it's a shame that Google Podcasts went RIP, but I guess that's why we're also on YouTube now as well, youtube.com/osrsupdate. But I don't have anything else this week. Good show as per usual. You have anything before we go, or is that pretty much summarize it?
No, I mean, we know what's to come next week, which is nothing. But the week after that is going to be pretty huge. I'm pretty excited, honestly.
Varlamort Part 1.
Varlamort Part 1. I I need to figure out when I have time to explore all of that. No, I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, tentpole content week's always the best. So do stick around with us. And, of course, we'll be back next week for another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.